Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Watch therefore and pray always. Note the always. It's a sense that we're always ready. It's a sense that Jesus could come back today. Today might be the day. Watch and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man.
Do you really believe that Jesus could come back any day for his believers? Do you live like it? For true Christians, the rapture isn't just the way we will escape the worst time this earth has ever seen. It should also cause us to live and walk with a readiness, a righteousness to be doing all things to the glory of God, so that when He does come back for us, He finds us at our best. With more from 1 John 2, 28-3, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Look at verse 36 of Matthew 24. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Of that day and that hour when Jesus comes back, no one knows. He cannot be talking about his return to the earth at this point. We're talking about when he sets up his kingdom. Why? We're going to know when that is. It's the end of the tribulation period. It's 7 years after the Antichrist signs a treaty between Israel and the surrounding nations. 7 years later, of that day and hour has got to be talking about the rapture of the church. And of that day and hour, it says no one knows. Now, the interesting thing about the Greek here is that literally in the Greek it says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. No one knows. Even though people try to say they know, no one knows. And so he says this, but as it was in the days of Noah, verse 37, but as it was in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, on the day that Jesus comes back, everything's going to be going normal. It's going to be a day like every other day. It could be today. Some people just got married this last weekend. People are eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. It's going on with their lives. And Jesus will come back on a day just exactly like today. There won't be any earmarks of that day that make it different than any other day. It's a day that people are living and just going on with their lives, and all of a sudden it happens. And it says in verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't know until the destruction came and took them away. And then he tells us specifically it's the rapture of the church. Look at verse 40. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding on the mill, one will be taken and the other left. That mysterious event where two people are working together and all of a sudden one is gone. Two women are working together and all of a sudden one is gone. I was talking to somebody who believed that the rapture is going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period. And they said, well, this isn't the, you know, Christians being taken out. This is an evil rapture, they said. An evil rapture? I've never seen that in the Bible. Have you guys ever seen where God promises and you will be caught up to be in the air, you evil people, and forever not be with the Lord? Doesn't ever say anything like that to me. They say, well, it says here that in the days of Noah, it was the evil people taken away. So the people taken up are the evil people. No, they're not. There's no such thing in the scriptures, and that is a twisting of what the Bible says. It says it's in the days of Noah because they're going on like life is normal. But then there will be two people in the field, one will be taken, two people grinding on the mill, and one will be taken away. And it is the righteous people that are taken at that moment. The application makes it clear. Therefore, watch, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. As Christians, what are you and I supposed to do today? Watch. Because we don't know that the Lord is coming. Now follow me on this. If you believe that the rapture of the church is going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period, why would you watch? Why would you be watching? Why would you be waiting? Why would you have to be ready? If you believe it's at the end of the tribulation period, why would you watch? It says you watch because you don't know what day the Lord's coming back, but you do know if you believe it's in the middle or the end, or pre-wrath, three quarters of the way through. You might say, well, I don't know the exact day, but that's not the point. The point is that you've got to always be ready. That's the point. You've got to watch because you don't know when the Lord is coming. Am I missing the point of the text? I don't think I am. That's the point. Look at what he goes on to say, verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. In other words, if the thief called up and said, I'm going to be there at 1:35, can you have all your stuff stacked up by the front door? Because I'm going to come take it. Well, you'd know what time the thief was coming, and what would you do? You'd be there in your house with your 6 hour ready for him to come. All right, he's going to come around the corner. There he is. He's coming now because he told you when he was coming. Well, you don't know when Jesus is coming, so you can't be ready. What if I was able to show you in the Bible that Jesus said he was coming back in May of 2007? You know what? We would have great revival in April. All of a sudden, people would go, I'm going to get my life ready. But this is the point of the text. You don't know when he's coming back. You don't know what the day is. You won't have a warning. Everything is going to go on like it's normal. And if that is the case, it cannot be during the tribulation, because the tribulation isn't normal. The tribulation has 75-pound hailstones. People are dying. Flesh becomes rare on the face of the earth. There's these creatures with hair like a woman and teeth like a lion, with a tail like a scorpion. It is not normal times. It has to be before the tribulation in order to fulfill those things and for you not to know. And to make sure that you are supposed to be ready now. And if you're not ready now, if when Jesus appeared right now, if you would be ashamed at his coming, if you would say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm involved in these things. I'm sorry. Then change that. Then you've got to be ready. And he gives the application again. Look at verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him. Now, if it's in the middle of the tribulation period, wouldn't you expect him in the middle? If it's pre-wrath, 3/4 of the way through, wouldn't you expect him 3/4 of the way through? If it's at the end of the tribulation period, you'd expect him, wouldn't you? Because it's the end. The only view that doesn't expect him is the view that believes it's going to happen before the tribulation period. It comes at a time when things are going on normal. It doesn't come in the middle of the tribulation period. And he gives an example now in verse 45. And remember, these are the teachings of Jesus. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant? That's the question. Who's faithful and who's wise? Whom the master made ruler over his house to give him food in his season. Blessed is the servant who the master, when he comes, finds him so doing. The wise and the blessed servant is the one who's doing what he's supposed to be doing when he returns. That's the wise servant. The unwise servant is involved in things he shouldn't be involved in. The wise servant is ready. It says in verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. There is a reward for those of you who are ready when Jesus returns. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Those who say, I don't have to worry about it right now. He's not coming back again. Tribulation period's got to start, and we all know the tribulation period hasn't started. So I'm okay. The evil person says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards. He begins to live in sin. Why? Because he doesn't have to worry about it. The Lord delays his coming. He's not going to come for a long time. Therefore, I can live this way. Verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The real, genuine Christian is ready for the Lord to return. And you say, boy, you can really say that? You can say that if someone isn't ready for Jesus to come back, that they're not a real, genuine Christian? I sure can. Why? Because if you say you love God, but you walk in darkness, you lie. And so if you're out there living your life in some sin, believing that you've got time to make it right, then you have no confidence of salvation. And I understand people will get upset with that. I understand people will say, well, once saved, always saved. But if you're not living for him, how do you even have confidence that you ever had genuine faith? The result of genuine faith is that you begin to live for him, that you walk with him, and that you're ready. If you say that you love him, but you hate your neighbor, then you're not walking in the truth. You don't love him. You've never had a relationship with him, or you don't have a relationship with him right now. And again, whether it comes to whether or not you can lose your salvation, I'm not going to argue with you about that. I'm not interested in arguing at all, but I'm interested in whether or not you're living for him now. And if you're living for him now, when he returns, well, then you'll be ready and you'll be wise. Look at verse 1 of chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They were the bridegroom or they were the bride. They said they were a part of the church, but they didn't have any oil in their lamps. They weren't prepared. They weren't living right. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom was coming. Go out and meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should be enough for us and you. But go to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. What's the application then? Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. There can be no mistaking the teachings of Jesus here. He tells us that he's coming at a time we don't expect him. He tells them he's coming at a time that we do not know. Therefore, we have to stay ready. Today in the church, there's this whole move to move away from things of the last days. People have been confused. People they don't want to study it. They don't want to look at those things anymore. Some say, I'm not a pre-tribulation rapturist. I'm not a mid, I'm not a post-tribulation rapturist. I'm a pan-tribulation rapturist. You ever heard anybody say that? It'll all pan out in the end. That's what they say. And even though that's kind of a cute thing to say, and even though some people might be prone to go, yeah, that's me, it'll all pan out in the end. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say you take the approach, it'll all pan out in the end. What does he say? Be ready. And I don't care what your view is. I don't care whether you're mid-trib or post-trib. I don't want to argue with you about it. I'm done with that. I've done all my stuff. I've done, you know, gone over all those things. I'll share with you why I believe strongly about what I believe. I won't argue with you about it. But whatever your view is, you better be ready. Why? Because Jesus told you to. And if you say, I don't got to be ready, well, then that's a wicked and evil servant who says, my Lord is delayed, is coming. You better be ready. You better be watching. Because Jesus said to do that. Look with me at Luke chapter 21. Verse 34. Again, it's the same context. It's a parallel passage. Jesus has talked about the destruction of Jerusalem in 66 AD, still in the future to him. He's talked about what it will be like in the days before the tribulation period, the wars and the rumors of wars and the pestilence and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the birth pains. And then he's talked about the tribulation period and the Jewish people in the midst of the tribulation period. And then they're gathering together at the end of the tribulation period. Then he turns to those who are waiting. Again, you and I. And he says, verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. He says, listen, you be careful. Don't get caught up in carousing. The word carousing means looking for sex. Don't get caught up carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and suddenly that day comes upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare, verse 35, on all who dwell on the face of the earth. Earth dwellers, beware. Where's your citizenship? Do you dwell upon the earth? Or are you a citizen of heaven? Verse 36, watch therefore. Boy, does that sound familiar? Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass. Do you do that? How about those of you who believe it's the mid-trib, you know, rapture or post-trib? Do you watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things? See, someone said to me one time, well, you're just an American. Now, that's a great, astute observation, by the way. You're right, I am an American. But you're just an American, they said, and you haven't had a hard day in your life. Well, listen, as Americans, I think it's probably true that we don't have things as tough as some other nations do. Wouldn't you agree with that? I think that's probably a pretty good observation. That's pretty right on. You know, our lifestyle is pretty easy compared to the lifestyle of those around the world. But I'll tell you what, don't you assume to know me enough to tell me I haven't had a difficult day in my life. Because I've had difficult days. I've had days that are tough. I've had days that I don't even know if I can continue to go on. I have faced hard and difficult times. At 14 years old, I lost my father to Lou Gehrig's disease. When I was 12 years old, my dad weighed 220 pounds. When he died, he weighed 105 pounds. I watched him literally wither away before my eyes and my father being taken from me. Now, see, I know this about you as well. I know you've had tough days as well. I know you could stand here and tell me about difficult days. I've had other difficult days besides that, by the way. And I know you have too. Don't tell me I haven't had difficult days. When someone tells me that you're an American, you haven't had a difficult day in your life, they don't know me. They are not qualified to speak into my life in such a way, just like I wouldn't be qualified to speak into your life in such a way. But then they said to me, you're an American, you haven't had a difficult day in your life, you just want to escape. Well, that's the first right thing they said. Amen. I want to escape. No, I want to be here during the tribulation period. Oh, yeah. The worst time this world has ever seen, 75-pound hailstones. Here comes another one. Where are you going to hide from 75-pound hailstones? Creatures with hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, and a tail like a scorpion, that when they sting you, you want to die, but you can't die. Oh, yeah, I want to go through that. Read it again, verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always. Note the always. It's a sense that we're always ready. It's a sense that Jesus could come back today. Today might be the day. Watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I pray that I could escape it, and I pray that I would be counted worthy to stand before him, and that is the rapture of the church. Now, to finish our study on how we're supposed to live while we're waiting for him, go back with me now to 1 John chapter 2, the same passage that we just read, verse 28. He says, and now, little children, abide in him. How are we supposed to live while we're waiting for him? Abide in him. Continue with him. Walk with him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may be confident and not ashamed before him at his coming. That when he shows up and suddenly I find myself standing before him, that I'm not saying, oh, Lord, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed at the things that I've been involved in. I'm ashamed at who I've become because I wasn't ready. It says, if you know that he is righteous, and we all know that he is, if you know he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. As a Christian, you need to be practicing righteousness. Now, what does it mean to practice righteousness? It doesn't say those of you who are perfect, you know, if you know he's righteous, then you got to be perfect. No, you practice righteousness. Those of you that play golf. Out of curiosity in here, how many of you guys play golf? Raise your hands. Carnal. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. You guys thought, yeah, so I play golf. Carnal, what are you talking about? All right. You guys play golf and you practice, don't you? Those of you who play golf. Why do you practice? Because you want to get better, right? So you practice golf. Does that mean that you're perfect at it? You get out there in the driving range and hit every shot 240 yards straight down the fairway every single time? No. Oh, somebody says yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we got Tiger Woods here with us today. Now, wait a minute. I've seen Tiger Woods slice the ball, right? Why do you practice? So you can get better. But when you're practicing, sometimes, bam, oh, watch, hit four, you know, right? If you practice karate, does it mean you're perfect at it? Say, no, I'm practicing it. Well, that's how you practice righteousness. Doesn't mean you're perfect. The Bible says if we say that we have never sinned or if we say we have no sin, we're lying. But we practice righteousness. I'm trying to walk in it. I'm trying to practice it so that I'm pleasing to him. And every once in a while, I have to go to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I sliced the ball. Sorry. I didn't want to. I tried to keep my head down, but I didn't. And I need your help. But I'm practicing righteousness, at least to the best of my ability. And I'm getting better at it. Just like those of you who practice golf, you're getting better at it. Those of you who practice karate, you're getting better at it. Those of you who practice, you know, sitting on the couch eating potato chips, you're getting better at it. Or at least you're getting bigger. I don't know, getting better at it, you're getting bigger. But you get better at it as you spend time doing it. And see, it's the same thing for those of you who practice righteousness. You're getting better at it as you walk before the Lord. And the desire is that when he appears, I can go, you know, I'm not perfect, but Lord, I'm trying when I see him. When I was a teenager, and there was an expectancy in the 70s. Those of you who have been Christians that long, that you know the Lord back in the 70s, you know this is true. There was a real expectancy of the return of Jesus, wasn't there? It was just kind of a move, and there was a revival that took place called the Jesus move, but everybody was expecting Jesus to come back. We used to say to each other when we would say goodbye, see you here, there, in the air. Do you guys remember that? We'll see you here, there, in the air. It was just such an expectancy that Jesus could come back at any moment. There was a particular song that was popular during those days on the radio about a guy that wasn't ready. He says that he woke up in a hotel room with a woman that he shouldn't have been with. And he felt a hot wind blowing out in the street, or he woke up in the hotel room to a loud explosion outside. He says, I ran out in the street and I felt a hot wind blowing. And I looked up in the sky and realized that the saddest eyes were looking at me. Jesus had come back and was looking at him. And he says then that he woke up in a sweat. It was a dream, that he had dreamed that Jesus had came back and he wasn't ready. And he says, I crawled out of my bed and I got on my hands and knees and I cried out to God, if I never go to hell, it is because you scared it out of me. Well, maybe for some of us, we need to have hell scared out of us. Maybe for some of us, we need to think, where would I be if Jesus came back today? Would I be ready? You know, what's the old song? And I can't remember who did it first of all. I wish we'd all been ready. I think you two redid it here recently, didn't they? I wish we'd all been ready when he came back. Wonder what it will be like afterwards. Wonder if any of us are alive during that day, and I wonder if any of us will be left behind. Maybe we'll think back to this time, this message. Think I didn't take it seriously. Maybe even in your mind now, you're thinking, no, it's mid-trib or post-trib, and I don't need to be ready. Well, you know what? Just because you believe it's mid or post doesn't mean you're a wicked servant, right? I mean, we'll all agree on that. But if you say, he's not coming back till the middle of the end, therefore I can live however I want to live, you're a wicked servant. Just because you believe in mid-trib doesn't make you a wicked servant, but if you say, I believe it's mid-trib, therefore I can live however I want to live, then you're a wicked servant. And he said he'll give you your portion with the hypocrites to be separated from him. And you get upset at me if you want to. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. Could it be that the Lord would allow our hearts to be ready and we would let no one steal from us, no theologian steal from us, no Christian who comes along and says, no, that's not what the Bible says, steal from us the hope that Jesus could come back today. I won't let anyone do that. Every time I look at a sunset, I think that today could be the day that I would meet him in the clouds. Every time I look at a spectacular cloud formation, I think about the return of Jesus. And I hope that's the case for you. And I hope that not only thinking that could be the return of Jesus, I hope you think, am I ready? And am I living right? And if he were to come back today, would he be pleased in how he has found me? And if things aren't right between you and your God, make them right today. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you as we take time to look at the promise of your return. And we see that we are to live in righteousness and we are to practice righteousness while we are waiting. I pray, Lord, that we would be ready for your return. And for those who maybe have been, well, just drifted away from the thoughts of your return because they believe it could be in the middle of the tribulation or the end of the tribulation, may you cut to their hearts that they need to wait, they need to watch, and they need to be ready. Because you said to, for no other reason than that's what you've told us to do, to watch, wait, and be ready, and that is our desire. Father, I want to pray for those who are here today who have backslidden, who are away from you now, who are not living their lives right. And if you were to come back today, they would have a question as to whether or not they would go with you. And I pray that they would turn from that now, live wholeheartedly for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of practical Christian living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive. That's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.